We're in part four of Rooted and looking at putting down roots. So just a quick review. First, we talked about the fact that God is the creator and the sustainer. And we have to start with that God created this world, he created us, and he sustains it. He keeps it going. The Bible says that in him, everything has its being, and he holds all things together by his power. And so the issue is, the further we get from him, and this is clearly taught repeatedly in Scripture, the further away you get from him, the more you begin to fall apart. And that's why we have a cursed creation, because creation's moved away from God. And it's easy to notice that in other people and say, people need to get back to God. But the problem is so often we drift away, and then we begin to fall apart. And so last week, we talked about being receptive to the Word of God, to what God wants to say. And are our hearts ready to receive and soft enough that Word can take deep root within us? So then today what we want to talk about is, what does it really mean to be rooted? You know, that's our series is called Rooted. What does it mean? And when I first started coming up with a series and the Holy Spirit led me towards this, I had no idea the season we were about to walk into. I had no idea what we were going to be facing. We'd be where we are now. And many people, their lack of roots is showing. And sometimes our lack of roots may be showing. And we need to examine ourselves and really look at what does it mean to be rooted and allow this time to hopefully cause us to allow our roots to deepen. So I want to pray again real quick, and let's dive into the Word of God today and really look at what it means to really be rooted, established as a Christian, as a child of God, as someone who follows and has received Jesus. Let's pray. Good morning again, Father, as we gather around our screens and gather around your Word and as we study together, I pray that your Word would speak to us, that your Word would be powerful into our lives, that we would have prepared our soil, the things that are trying to choke out your Word, the things that are trying to make us resistant to your Word, the things that might cause us to not really rest in you. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that we would open ourselves up to your Word, allow it to go deep within us, penetrating right to the bone, that we might be changed and drawn closer to you by your power. So, Lord, we thank you for the chance to study your Word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to turn to John 15, 1 through 17. John 15, 1 through 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, But I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. Let's unpack that. For some, that might be a very familiar passage. There's a first note in the first five verses. He starts right off by saying, you know, I'm the vine, you're the branches, and abide in me, live in me, and you'll bear much fruit. And then he makes this statement in two, that if there's a branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And there's some debate over what that phrase means, because there's two ways to translate that phrase. It can mean to take away, as in what he talks about later, taking away unproductive branches. But the phrase can also mean and be translated to lift up. And so there's some thought that what Jesus is referring there, because of the context, which is how we should interpret Scripture, is that he's saying, okay, now if you have a branch that's in me, so it is abiding in me, but it's not really doing well yet, the vine dresser will tie it up, support it, lift it up, so that why it can bear fruit. And then every branch that is bearing fruit, he cuts back to produce more fruit. And so either way, Jesus' emphasis is clear. Whichever way it means, hey, I really want you to bear fruit, and that God is constantly working to cause us to bear more fruit. And notice it's not, you should try to bear fruit. It's, I am preparing you so that you will. And then he talks about the other side. What happens if you don't abide? Verse 6. If you don't abide, he says, you'll dry up and you'll be taken out. If you do not abide. And the word abide here could also be translated dwell. It has this idea of living among us. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, abided with us. So he came and lived with us. Now he's saying, now you live with me. Come dwell, come live with me. And he says, as you do that, in verse 7, he makes an interesting statement that sometimes has been taken out of context and used in a way that it doesn't mean. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This does not mean, hey, as long as you're in me, I'm a genie that will give you whatever you want. That's not what that verse means. What he means is, if you are abiding, if you're living in me, then you're going to get whatever you want, because whatever you want is what I want. And that is a clear message all through Scripture. God is eager to give us the things that he wants to give us. And if we want those same things, there we go. And that's what he's saying here, is our desires will start being like his. Verse 8, my Father, here's what the Father wants. Here's what glorifies the Father. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. This proves that you're my disciple. So abide. What does it mean? It means to dwell. Verses 9 through 11. It means to dwell in him in love. As the Father loved me, I love you. Think about that, because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit exist as one God in three persons. And that's we don't understand the dynamic of that, because I think it's far too far for our brains to comprehend. A lot of people, they try the egg and they try water, and all these are metaphors that fall way, way short. Because God is unique in this way, so we can't, there's no earthly thing that illustrates it well, which is why God doesn't bother trying to explain it, because we don't have the capacity. But what we do know is that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit existing as one being, one God, that within these three persons, they love each other intently with a love that I think would just melt our faces off. And he says, and that's how much I love you. I love you the way the Father loves me. Whoa. He loves you like God loves himself. Whoa. And then he says, so then verse 10, if you love me like that, you will be keeping my commandments. Keeping my commandments is how you love me. And this is again where we turn it into, so if you want God to love you, you better be good. But that's not what it means. He says, "Abide, keeping my commandments is how you abide in love." Why? Verse 11, so that you will have joy. I want you to have joy, which is different than happiness. I want you to have joy. But what commandments? He says, to abide in him is to keep his commandments. Well, he answers that. Sorry, I'm behind on my PowerPoint. He answers that next. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. He said the whole law and the prophets, every other commandment he ever gave, could be reduced to love one another. So in other words, the way you live in God's love is to love others. He says, if you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. In other words, if you love others the way I have loved you, the way the Father has loved me, that's you living in my love. This is not a, if you do good, I'll reward you. Which is so often we look at this as some sort of religion where God's up there trying to grade our performance. He's not. This is not about a benchmark that you've got to hit for God to bless you. This is what it means to exist in him. It's to exist in this flame of love that comes from the Father and the Son and the Spirit into you and then comes out of you. And that's his commandment. Love others. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as if he was you. Loved by God. And then, what does that look like? This is the greatest expression of that, that you lay down your life for them. You consider them more important than you. And that is not our way. Not most of the time. Especially not when push comes to shove. And right now, it's a lot of push and shove in our world and in our country. And I need to take care of me. And he says, but the greatest love is you lay down your life for his friends. And he says, and if you're in this, you're my friend. And then he says, verse 15, and you see, you're not my slaves. A slave isn't in on the program. A slave is just, and a lot of Christians live as slaves. I come to Jesus and now I have to be good and I have to do what Jesus tells me. And Jesus is like, no, that's not the relationship. This is not a bunch of just household servants where you do what I tell you or else. He says, I call you my friends because our relationship is not based on your performance. It's based on my love for you and your receiving and living of that. And that's why he says, and so then ask whatever you want. Why? Because we're on the same page. Verse 16. This is not about you. We tend to make it all about us. Either I've got to be good for God or he won't love me. He says, but no, you didn't choose me. This isn't you going, you know, we sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. And that's a good sentiment. And we have a response on our part. But he's saying, this started with me. It's not that, well, you proved yourself good and so I decided to love you. He says, no, I chose you. And this morning, if you feel unworthy, you got to understand, God chose you before you were born. He chose to love you, not because you were going to do good things, but because he wanted to do good things and die for you, because that's the greatest love he could show, because he loves you. He says, and so that's what I want you to do. And then again, he says, that's fruit. I want you to bear much fruit. And ask the Father whatever you want. Once you are in him, you can ask whatever he wants. And he'll give it to you. And he says, finally, his last statement again is, this is what I'm telling you to do. Love one another. I mean, how could he be any clearer in his command? And yet we turn that into a whole bunch of other things. So let's apply this morning. Because I think that the application is really where we start getting kind of stuck. We don't always know what to do. And you could have grown up in church, and you've been a good person, and you were a good church kid. You've been a good church adult, and you do the right thing, and you do all the things you're supposed to do. And that's not bad. Obviously, that's not bad. Excuse me. But do we understand the heart of what it means to live, dwell, abide in Him? It does not mean to just agree or to sign up. It does not mean that you say a prayer one day and say, okay, Jesus, I ask you into my heart, and now I get to go to heaven. That's like saying that my entire relationship with my wife is just the day that I said I do and made my vows. That was over 20 years ago that I did that. My relationship with my wife is about the love that we live in every day, not about something we said 20 years ago. That's where we started, and we made vows. But that's not where we live. Where we live is what we do every day. Because if all we had was those vows, the last 20 years would have been rough and bondage, not joy. And he said, the whole point of this is that your joy might be full. So it doesn't mean that you just agree. It means living in the reality of his love expressed through his sacrifice. Where do you live? Right now, a lot of us, we're living at home. We're living in an angry, scared, frustrated, divided world. And when we live in that world a lot, by watching the news, consuming social media, reading the paper, hanging out with the people of this world, you begin to live in this world more. And pretty soon, what are you thinking about all the time? You're thinking about all the things that are in this world. And I guarantee you, the more you think about it, the more either anxious or angry you get. You get uptight, you get stressed. You get mad at others or sad about others. But either way, it doesn't do you a lot of good. And so then you have to go try to find some signs of hope where a person was a decent person and did the right thing. Oh, and we celebrate that. And those are good. You know, I like a good, somebody did something, you know, hey, I gave up my toilet paper to you. You know, we do need that. But boy, we need more. We need not just good people doing good things, because that is not enough. Because if that was all it took, we'd already be living in utopia. Even when diseases hit, our basic ability to just always love on each other. Sorry. Our basic ability. Sorry. Got a frog. To just always care for each other would mean that even this whole pandemic thing would be going really smoothly. But we all know that is not even close to how it's going. Because we do not live in the reality of Jesus's love and sacrifice for us. We do not abide in him and in his love. As the Father loved Jesus, so Jesus loved us, so that we should love each other. You can't do the last part of that phrase if you don't know the first part. If you are not living in the love Jesus has for you, then you cannot love others the way he loved you. And so every day you need to live in the reality of his sacrifice, his dying on the cross for you. Then, and only then, will you bear much fruit. I will tell you right now, there is, if you haven't experienced this, just when the news or the stuff that you're reading or just the confinement starts getting to you, open up and read the Word of God, listen to Him, and begin to not just focus on, oh, this is a cool Bible verse. That's not enough. The Bible, the value of the Bible is that it points you to Jesus. And get back to His love for you, expressed through Him dying on that cross, suffering for you. And that He loves you that much. Every time you take a step away, every time you walk out of living in that, you'll start to fall apart. If you're in a relationship, that relationship will start to wobble. Your ability to relate to your fellow man will become worse. The way you express yourself will become more sarcastic and more snide and less compassionate, and you'll have less mercy. Why? Because you're beginning to fall apart. You're drying up because your roots aren't sunk deep in the sacrificial love of God who laid down His life for you. Or as I said on Friday, if you listened, your love will start to grow cold. Because you do not have it within yourself to stay in love. He said that right here, verse 5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Jesus, you don't just become less able to do it. Apart from Jesus, you are unable to do it. And so when I have a bad moment, when I start feeling very angry and frustrated or sad, which are all normal emotions, but it tells me that I'm starting to dry out because my roots are now currently no longer sunk deep in Him. Because I am not in that moment abiding. I am not dwelling. I am not living in that moment in His love. I am living in the world. So I don't know how you're doing, but if you're anything like me, this is hard. And some of you might be watching and you have never abided in Him. You might have a vague idea of being a good person and, well, you know, I believe in God. Well, that's great. It's fairly meaningless, but it's good. But we know even the demons believe in God. They're like, yeah, there He is right there. But they do not live in His love. Even correct theology does not cause you to live in His love. 1 Corinthians 13 says, if you know all mysteries and have all the spiritual gifts, but if you don't have love, you got nothing. Because apart from Him and abiding in His love, keeping His commandment, which is what? Love one another. You'll never bear fruit. Our world is starving, and not because the food supply chain has been disrupted. But because there's not enough spiritual fruit. Let's abide in Him. Make sure every day, as the hot, scorching winds of this world are blowing a gale, that we are rooted every day, repeatedly, in the love that Jesus has for you by dying on the cross. If you have never accepted that, I don't mean agreed with it. I mean dwelt in it. Do it today. Do it right now. Just talk to Him. You can close your eyes and bow your head. You can kneel. However you want, you can do it with your eyes open and look. Just talk to Jesus and say, I believe that You love me. That as God, You came and lived and died and rose again for me. Because of Your great love for me, I accept it in my life that You have saved me because of what You've done, not because of what I do.